Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone that is out this morning. Our number is down. Hopefully those that aren't able to be with us this morning will be here this evening. But as I've said before, I remember Brother Wayne Walker would say, we've got a good number here this morning, whatever the number was. And he would say, whenever people come together to worship God, it's a good number. So we've got a good number here this morning. We have so much to be thankful to God for. This morning I want to talk about anxiety and depression. Ron read Proverbs 12:25. The New King James Version says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Depression is something that so many people deal with. There may be somebody here that is experiencing that. We all know people that deal with being anxious and having depression. We're going to look at it not from a medical standpoint this morning, but from a biblical standpoint. But I do want to put some numbers and some information out just to give us a little bit of an idea of the size of this problem. Millions are diagnosed with some form of clinical anxiety or depression. Anxiety disorders are the most common, and I would put this in parentheses or italics, mental illness in the U.S. with 40 million or 18.1% of the U.S. population age 18 and older. So they're saying roughly 20% of the population is has this, what is referred to as an illness. And that is from Anxiety Disorders Association of America. Hundreds of millions of dollars are spent annually on anti-anxiety pills. Anxiety disorders cost the U.S. more than $42 billion a year, according to the economic burden of anxiety disorders. A study commissioned by the Anxiety Disorders Association of America. And again, they form these companies, these groups, to gather data to publish in their journals. But just looking at those numbers, you can see that it is a big problem. When I was growing up, we didn't hear too much about people being anxious or having anxiety attacks or being depressed. We didn't hear much about that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we find, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as Christians, we are commanded not to be anxious. There is a spiritual component to this anxiety and this depression. And we must not ignore what the Bible says about that. But what are we talking about with anxiety? Well, the medical definition includes stress, panic, fear, disorders, mental illness. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is a feeling of apprehension and fear characterized by physical symptoms such as palpitations, sweatings, feelings of stress. So your heart races, you start sweating, you just feel uncomfortable. Anxiety disorders are a serious medical illness that affects approximately 19 million American adults. And with some people, this just consumes their life and they are filled with overwhelming anxiety and fear. Now, this is different than some of the stress that we come across in life. You think about Maybe at work you have to make a business presentation. Maybe you stand up here in front of a group of people to make a talk. We say we feel anxious or stressed and our heart is racing faster. A young man may want to ask out a young woman. There's a bit of stress involved in that. But we aren't talking about those kinds of situations. We're talking about something that is chronic, it's relentless, and it can grow worse and worse if it's not treated. Well, how do we treat this problem? And we do not want to deny that there are conditions that people have where some people need to be treated with medicine. We are not saying that you stay away from that. But we want to look at a variety of things, and again, what the Bible has to say about it, what causes this anxiety, and what the Bible says is a solution to it. So one of the first things that people go to as a treatment is medication. And again, hundreds of millions of dollars, over $800 million annually. Is there something wrong with taking medication? No, there's nothing wrong with taking medication. And Paul even told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities. So he was talking about medicinal purposes. I wouldn't recommend someone go out and buy wine today because there are plenty of medicines that we can take if we have a stomach issue. But medication is needful in some instances. One of the problems, and again, you go back to just thinking, most of us here have been around a few years, and you go back to the commercials you saw in the 60s, 70s, there weren't too many pharmaceutical companies advertising on the TV back then. Pharmaceutical companies are not after cures, they're after customers. They are after customers. They don't want to come up with something that's a cure or they'll be out of business. And oftentimes when people start on medication, the doctor, whoever is providing, will keep trying another one, a different one, instead of finding some solution to the problem. I've been with John at the VA when he has told them he wants to get off the pills they have him on. And they said, you'll never be off of them. And that is the mindset of a lot of people, is that you don't have control and you're always going to have to take this pill. And if this pill doesn't work, then you're going to take another pill and then we're going to try another one. But medication is a legitimate means of helping to solve this problem. Diet is also a means. Matthew 15:7, do you not yet understand whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? The things that we put into our body affect our mind, affects our mood, affects our actions. Years ago, and I forget what the particular brand was, but I think it was like Hostess Twinkie, where someone was claiming that as a defense where they had gone out and murdered somebody, and they said they had eaten too many of those and the sugar had affected them, and they were trying to blame a company for the sin that they had committed of murdering someone. How about exercise? Exercise is a good one. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that of which is to come. Now, Paul is not saying, when he says that bodily exercise profits a little, that he's not saying it's not worth anything. He's saying compared to spiritual exercise. But bodily exercise profits us a lot. And sometimes, instead of taking what the doctor prescribes, if we got up and walked around the block or walked out in the woods, we would feel a lot better than what the doctor prescribed. rest. Rest is something also that helps. Mark 6:31, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they do not even have time to eat. Have you ever been caught up in something, a work assignment or a situation that arises? You don't even have time to stop and eat. It affects your body. It affects your mind. And rest is something that is necessary. All of these treatments are important for us to stay healthy. Sometimes medicine, we watch our diet, we exercise, and we rest. Each of these helps to give us a balanced life. Many people, the older I get, the more doctors I get. And the one doctor, I got this from his office. He is a faith-based doctor. He believes in God. And I want to read some of the things that he has listed on here. And this just says, I can change. I would rather help than be a burden. So think about your help. Do you want somebody taking care of you the rest of your life, or do you want to be a help to others? I want to be of assistance rather than be assisted. I take responsibility for my current state of health. A lot of people will blame everything out there except themselves. I will work to break the addiction to unhealthy foods and the folly of believing drugs are the solutions to my problems. Now, this doctor is not against drugs, but he is for trying other things first. I make a decision of what to put in my body. And you stop and think about back to the guy that claimed the defense of eating those Hostess Twinkies when he murdered somebody. Nobody held him down on the ground and force stuff those Twinkies into him. It was a choice. It was a choice. Just like with alcohol or a number of different things, it's a choice what we put into our body. He goes on to say, I believe the creator of the universe designed this body to function best without drugs. And I heard him on the radio one time, and he said, stop and think about it. He said, God would be a cruel God, if you think about all these conditions that existed, that do exist today, and he waited 2,000 years for these medicines to come out on how to treat people. He said that would be a mean, cruel God. And his point is that there are other ways that can help us. And the first way is we need to get back to God, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Drugs have not increased life and longevity. At times, drugs have helped some to delay or avoid a premature death, while in others has caused a premature death. To fulfill my purpose in life set by God, I must strive to maintain my health. For without my health, I am a burden, inefficient, and less effective in my service to God, my family, church, work, and my country. So he is talking about our physical health and well-being. But again, this also encompasses our mind, our thinking, and how we function on a day-to-day basis. So what are we talking about with anxiety? We are talking about care, concern, or worry that consumes and takes over a person's life and their view and approach to life. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And again, just while you're turning there, think back to all those commercials you saw years and years ago, and how many pharmaceutical companies were on there. And one other point about that, you see a lot of the drugs that people take, and it will be for one thing, and the list of side effects are like this long. And usually the last one is may cause death. Or some of the drugs, medicines taken for depression one of the side effects is it can cause someone to be bipolar or suicidal. The drug reacts differently in everybody. But Matthew 26, beginning at verse 25, talking about worrying and being anxious. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and is tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Notice in this section, talking about worry, he mentions worry five times. One time is enough to tell us don't do it. But notice in verse 25, I say to you, do not worry. Verse 27, which of you by worrying? Verse 28, so why do you worry? Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. Is worry a problem? It's a big problem. It's a big problem for some on the best day. It's a big problem. And Jesus tells us not to. One of the things we have to acknowledge when we put our faith and trust in God, Satan's going to come right along behind us, and he's going to try to discourage us and to destroy our faith. And sometimes the more good we do, the more he's going to try to discourage us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So Satan is going to be busy trying to distract us and blind us. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has many devices to work on us. How's he going to do that? He's going to get in our mind. He's going to get in our mind. When we think about worldly care, Mark 4:19, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things, entering in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We live in a very selfish society. You see, you turn on the radio, the TV, every 5 minutes there's going to be a commercial telling you you're not right until you buy this product. You're not okay unless you buy this. They are all geared toward making us feel uncomfortable unless we buy something and we conform or we buy what they are selling. And that creates stress and pressure with young people, with older people. They think they have to buy certain clothes, drive certain cars, live in certain neighborhoods, and they worry about keeping up with each other. And what's Jesus say? Don't worry about that stuff. God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. And you see, in Matthew chapter 6, we'll back up a couple verses. when we're trying to serve God, and then Satan is trying to tug us and pull us into the world, what do some people do? They try to live the life of the devil, and they try to serve God. And what does Jesus say about that? You can't do that. You can't do that. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Why do so many people worry? Because they're trying to serve two masters. They haven't given themselves completely to God, completely to Christ. And then when they try to serve two masters, they worry about this and they worry about that. And then it just spins out of control. We touched on it briefly in the Wednesday night class in 1 Corinthians 7. But this word divided, distributed, distraction, worry, anxious. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32, but I want you to be without care. He is unmarried, cares for the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin, verse 34. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. We recognize that if when we were single, our focus was on the Lord, and when we become married, we are trying to please our spouse and please the Lord. And this is just an example of a divided mind. God tells us how to deal with that. But if we don't follow God's directions and instructions how to deal with something like that, what's Satan going to do? He's going to drive a wedge in there and make that a crack. And then it's going to get bigger and bigger. And then, you know, before you know it, it's going to be like the Grand Canyon. And the simplest things are just overwhelming. They are overwhelming. So anxiety is an unbalanced view and approach to life's circumstances. It's an unbalanced view and approach to life's circumstances. I know sometimes I get discouraged. I will admit that. And sometimes it's when I think I need to do this or I need to do that instead of trusting on God to take care of that for me. We need to trust in God. Sometimes it may be something else. But when this gets out of hand and when we become overly anxious, we become depressed. The King James Version in Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. And you can just see that mental picture of heaviness in the mind, and that man is weighted down with that load that he's carrying. He's so depressed. And the New King James, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. But Jesus, we read in Philippians, where we are commanded not to be anxious. And we saw in Matthew 6, where Jesus said that anxiety is a choice. We can choose to serve God, or we can choose to serve the devil. We can't do both. If we do both, we're going to have a distracted mind. And You see some people in the world, you see some Christians, and this is just an observation, you see some Christians, and this is a generalization, they have a hard time dealing with life. They're trying to serve Christ, God, they have a hard time. You see some people in the world living the most ungodly life, doing everything wrong, and it doesn't bother them at all. And the conclusion that I come to is they are serving one master, and they are content to serve that one master, so they have no conflict in their mind. Their mind isn't divided. But sometimes, and this isn't true with everybody, sometimes though, some of our anxiety may be because we are trying to please God and we're trying to please our worldly friends, our worldly family, our worldly neighbors, our co-workers, and it just isn't going to work. It's going to be distracted. It's going to cause some problems. In John 14:1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Chapter 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Friends, if a pharmaceutical company could come up with a little pill that gave you peace, everybody would want to invest in it because it would make you rich with all the pills that they would sell with people looking for peace in their life. Can you get that in a pill? No. Where do you get it? You get it from the great physician. You get it from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Did he struggle with things? He certainly did. We read in Hebrews this morning where he came in the form of man. He was tempted. He suffered. He died. He knows the temptations that we go through. In Luke chapter 22, beginning at 40, when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus was struggling, but he handled it in the right way. He went to the Father. He submitted to the Father. I tell you, I've sweated. I've been nervous. I've been anxious and sweated and perspired. I've never had sweat like drops of blood like Jesus did. And what did he do? He prayed more earnestly. Sometimes prayer might help us in some of these situations. You think about the apostles. 2 Corinthians 4:7-15 talks about we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. You think about all the trials and persecutions that they went through. They understood it. Christ understood it. But they set an example for us of how to deal with it. And we can choose not to be overcome by the evil of anxiety. Romans 12:21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." One of the ways we do this, 2 Corinthians 25, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, it's easy to bring a lot of thoughts into captivity. It's harder to bring every thought. It's easy to bring many thoughts. It's hard to bring every thought. But if you don't bring all of your thoughts into captivity, what's going to happen? Those thoughts you don't bring in are going to cause you trouble. And it says, bring every thought into captivity. Again, that's a military term. You capture that thought. You control it. You don't let it control you. So what does anxiety do? Well, it'll isolate you. Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You think about some of the prophets from the Old Testament, they were isolated because they spoke the truth. You think about Jesus. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And friend, there's a lesson there for us too, because Jesus is going to lead us into the wilderness where we are isolated to be tempted. Anxiety, there's no profit to it. A lot of people are anxious, but there is no profit to choosing that. It'll paralyze us. Proverbs 22:13. I did a sermon on this a couple years ago. The lazy man says there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the street. People will make up excuses about everything. Well, I can't do that. This is going to happen. I can't go there. This might happen. I can't say that to them. Do you know what they're going to do? And they just make excuse after excuse, and it paralyzes people. Anxiety can cause fear, phobias. Matthew 25:25, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Anxiety, depression will disrupt peace. It will disrupt peace in the home, in relationships, in the workplace. And again, Satan is busy doing that. It'll disrupt peace in a congregation. Luke 10:40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You see, Martha was distracted. She was distracted, she was anxious, and that disrupted the peace. Again, when we let this take over our life, this anxiety will choke out the Word of God. It will choke us out and make us unfruitful. Well, is there ever a time when anxiety, when being anxious, could be good? And I was thinking about that, and I thought, yeah, there's a time when people should feel uneasy, when their heart should start beating, when they should start sweating, is when they hear the gospel and their life is not right. Just like the 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, they were anxious. How did they respond? Did they go to a doctor and see what to do? No, they obeyed the truth. They obeyed the truth. They were cut to the heart. You know, one of the problems too, and again, I'm not against medication. I'm saying that we need to look at it carefully and see what it does and see if there are other ways of improving the situation. But sometimes a medication, when somebody is overly anxious, and we have seen this personally, when someone is overly anxious and they try different medications, the result doesn't bring them back to the center. It takes them too far the other way, And then they are overly unconcerned, overly unmotivated. And God gave us emotions for a reason. You read about people being happy, being sad, being glad, being angry. And those come from within us. He gave us these strong emotions. And then he tells us, control them. And the only way you can control them is through Christ. And then you can live a Christ-like life. Was Christ angry? Yes, he was. He made a whip and drove out the money changers. Was he discouraged? Yes, he was. But he didn't let that immobilize him. And back to thinking of the people that were anxious on the day of Pentecost. They used that anxiety to accomplish something good. And they repented of their sins. They turned to God. And then it doesn't say in Acts chapter 2, but I know it happened, as I know it happened in the cases of the other conversion that we've studied about. And you think in Acts 8, and with the Ethiopian treasurer, after he was baptized, what did he do? He went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Friends, the takeaway from this sermon, you cannot serve two masters. You can't try to serve God, and you can't try to please the world. You cannot have a distracted mind. If you do, it's going to cause anxiety. Proverbs 12:25 is so simple, but it sums up everything. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And you see, the world is out of control with people suffering from this. And one thing that would help so much is for them to put God back in their life. God 100%. Is there anybody here this morning that feels anxious because their life is not right with Christ, with God? There's a simple solution. And again, you have the choice. You have the choice either to accept God and obey Him or to continue serving Satan. God has promised that those that obey Him, He will reward. God has promised that those who refuse to obey Him, He will punish. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.